Praise the Lord, everyone. Hi, this is One of Messiah Congregation, Kahal Chad B'Mashiach, and I just thank God we could be here. We are a congregation in Tennessee. Join us anytime if you're in Tennessee. We're right in Brentwood, 20 miles from Nashville. That's south. And if you can't do that, join us on the internet at oneofmessiah.net. That's oneinmessiah.net. oneinmessiah.net, One of Messiah. Praise the Lord. You can call me anytime. I'm always here. If you want to talk to me, email me. If you think there's something incorrect on my website, I'd love to know so I could change it. You know, I do all these studies, and I hope in time to come people listen to them. You know, I just praise the Lord I could be here today. Don't know if I'll be here tomorrow, but Lord willing, these recordings will be here. You know, I just praise the Lord for the blood of the Messiah, Yeshua. Today's topic is, the Lord says He's made us watchmen. And He's made us watchmen unto the house of Israel. You know, we have to seek and search out these people of God. As we know, it's very sad, not everyone is going to accept the Messiah, but few there be that find it, and we need to find these few amongst this world of now, I think, 6.5 billion people. But I just praise the Lord today for our salvation. You know, if you look in the scriptures, the book of Ezekiel, we could start in chapter 3. And if you have time, read chapter 3, chapter 18, and chapter 33, very important chapters, which totally expose once saved, always saved, made up by Protestants after the 1500s. However, in Ezekiel 3:17, it says, "Son of man," this is Jehovah speaking to Ezekiel, he says, "I have made thee a watchman, Tzofeh." Tzofeh in Hebrew, unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. You know, you never hear this in the Protestant churches. God says to go warn the people from me. He says, "When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will require at thine hand." You didn't warn them. It says, "Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but," it says, "but thou hast delivered thy soul." So that's the main thing. We want to go witness and testify, warn people from the Lord, warn people that you never know when you're going to meet the Lord. Are you ready to meet the Lord? These are very important verses. He says again, verse 20, this is chapter 3 of Ezekiel, verse 20, "Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him," and of course he's out of the spirit and he doesn't even see it, it says, "he shall die because he had not," "he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he had done shall not be remembered." Isn't that sad for that person? All his good deeds and all the things he thought he was doing for God, they shall not be remembered in the day that he sins. It says, "but his blood," because you didn't warn him, "will require at your hand," thine hand. "Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul." Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's very important. If you see a brother that's sinning or teaching people to break the commandments, warn them. You have to warn them according to the word of God. This is Ezekiel. Read it, chapter 3, verse 17 to 21. And let it sink into your ears, your hearts, your souls. You know, it's very important. You know, there's a doctrine going around, that this doctrine about the millennium, The word millennium, first of all, is a Latin word of Latin origin, I should say. It's not in the scriptures. And this word rapture, that's another word that's not in the scriptures. And it's so funny because we're supposed to be warning the people. No, the Lord's going to come on most of this world as a thief. And the reason why that's going to happen is they're not watching and they're not warning. This rapture, you know, or this thing is made up in the Protestant world, and it stems back to Judaism, which I'll explain later. However, if we look in the scriptures, you know, if you're not watching and warning, the Lord will come on you as a thief. Revelations, and to prove that, you can just go to Revelations chapter 3, verse 2. It says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God." Oh, you have to be perfect, really? "Remember, Zechor, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch," if you're not going to watch, "I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." So we see the Lord is coming as a thief to those that are not watching, those that are not warning. And we'll prove this by the verses in the Bible. It's very sad, you know, letting people think that the Lord can come any time. Obviously, the Lord can't come any time, because it says in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, it says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, ruach, nor by word, dvar, nor by letter, a ketuv, or something written, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand." It says, "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day," the coming of the Lord, "that day shall not come," the coming of the Lord is not coming, "until there's a falling away." In other words, a total apostasy from the truth. Total apostasy from the Word of God. So this is sounds like it's almost happened. It says, "Let no man deceive you." First, you're going to see a falling away. That's verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And then the other part of this says, "And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So the Lord's not coming until you see the man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You know, and we could look at this temple. You could say it's either a spiritual one, because we're the temple of the living God. We don't want any false doctrines or anti-messiahs sitting in our hearts and our souls. But at the same time, if you go to Israel, this is one of their main thrusts right now, to build a third temple. And this anti-messiah physically will sit on this throne. And you can read this all in Daniel. And Yeshua says the same thing when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, "Stand in the holy place." So you read Daniel and you follow what Yeshua says in the book of Matthew chapter 24. But this day is not going to come. The day of the Lord is not coming until you see this. But that doesn't mean you're not supposed to be watching and sober. You know, you might go out to meet the Lord, and that's the end of the world for you. Well, you never know when you're going to meet the Lord. No one has any lease on life. You know, all the richest people in the world, and you and me, we're all equal. We all have one breath. You know, it's very important to read these scriptures. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Okay? That's to the people that are not watching. It says, and this is why they'll be tricked. It says, "For when they say peace and safety," this is because they're not watching, "then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." And then Apostle Paul says very clearly, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Amen. You are the children of light. Did you know that? And the children of the day. We are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So you're supposed to be watch and sober. You're not supposed to be drunk and in the night. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunk are drunken in the night. Remember those days? It says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God had not appointed us to wrath. See, these people have an appointment with wrath. I don't want that appointment. God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, who died for us, that whether we wake, in other words, whether we're alive when he comes, or if we're dead, if we sleep, we shall live together with him. And I hope I'm comforting you and edifying you with these words. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You know, if you go down to verse 14, it says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. So people that don't hold this doctrine, don't understand the scriptures, warn them. People that don't want to keep the commandments, don't want to serve the Lord, warn them. You're supposed to comfort the feeble-minded. Don't make fun at them. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. You've got to support them. And be patient toward all men. Praise the Lord. We all need these virtues. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter 3:10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. There it is again. And this really blows the millennium story away, because 2 Peter 3:10 says, the Lord's coming as a thief in the night. When the Lord comes, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. You say to yourself, if the Lord's coming and everything's going to be burnt up, how are you going to have a 1,000-year millennium on this earth? It's impossible. We look for new heavens and a new earth, Apostle Peter says. Amen. I look for that new heavens and a new earth when New Jerusalem comes down upon the new earth. Praise the Lord, and we'll be with the Lord forever. Amen. You know, a lot of people get this so interpreted wrong. They think that I don't know where they got this thing. You're going to be raptured off the golf course or something, and then we're going to meet meet the Lord in the air and be brought back to this earth and reign with the Lord for 1,000 years. That's not what it says. It says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what it says. This, that they don't read the verses right. You're not getting raptured out of the grocery store and all this kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, who gets taken first? You know, the Left Behind series, that's incorrect. Who gets taken first? As it was in the days of Noah. Who got taken first? The wicked. Read the Gospels. Yeshua says, bind the tares first. Yes, who gets taken first? Who's left? Yes, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. You know, these scriptures, I hope we make straight the way of the Lord. We rightly divide or make straight the way of the Lord. Revelations 3:3, it says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on you as a thief. So if you're not watching, I will come on you as a thief. And you're not going to know what hour I will come upon thee. Revelation 16:15, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watch it. You want to be blessed? You'll be blessed if you're watching, because you won't be entering the terror and wrath of the Lord. He's coming back with a rod of iron to take vengeance on them that know not God and those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Yeshua, Messiah. You know, Matthew 24:42 very clearly says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. If you're not watching, reading the scriptures, and praying, and fasting, and knowing the times, God will come upon you as a thief. Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord had made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Oh, I heard that for 50 years, the Lord's coming. Where is he? Come on, let's go party. It says, if you say that, and if you say that in your heart, it's just like doing it. That's verse 48, Matthew 24:48. It says, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of the servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. Where are the hypocrites? You think they're in heaven? No. We had this message last week. There is an everlasting punishment, an everlasting fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It doesn't say for a few minutes. You know, Matthew 25:13 says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Of course not. No one knows the day or the hour, but we know the times and the seasons. In other words, we know what it says. We have to take all the verses, and they all have to be correct. In Mark 13:33 says, take ye heed, watch and pray. For ye know not when the time is, for the Son of Man is as a man taken a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight. See, even is the beginning of the day, or midnight. In the Bible, midnight really is midnight. Or at the cock crowing. Yes, the early morning, or in the morning. So the cock crows, or in the morning. We've got four different times there. Even, midnight, cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. That's Mark chapter 13, verses 33 to 37. There's times. The Lord's coming. Luke 12:35, let your loins be girt about, and let your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. Are you waiting for the Lord, or you forget about him once in a while? You need a vacation from the Lord? No. You need the Lord every day, every minute, every second. I love the Lord. I can't wait to meet the Lord. So let your loins be girt about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, and when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Amen. So if you're waiting, you're going to open immediately, because you're waiting, and you're waiting by the door, and you can't wait for him to come. Blessed are those servants when the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Amen. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Praise the Lord. Now here's the opposite. And if he shall come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. So there's the watches. We got the first, the second, and the third. It says, and this know that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be therefore ready. Also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. So these watches, we got the first watch, the second watch, and the third watch. This is very important. Are you ready? Are you watching? Are you warning? You know, God's very equal. God's way is weak, equal. He loves a just balance. I love these verses. In the book of Luke 21:34 says similar things. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Do you hear that? You get caught up in your life, and life gets in the way of serving the Lord. And there's always excuses for not doing something for the Lord. And there's reasons why you can't show up and praise the Lord. You know something? In Luke 21:35 it says, "For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." You know why? Because they're not watching. Verse 36 says, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always," amen, "that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass." It's definitely going to come to pass. I praise the Lord. We pray that we escape all these things, and to stand before the Son of Man. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16:13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men." In other words, be brave like men. Be strong. Watch. Ephesians 5:8, you know, we were sometimes darkness. We were. When we were unsaved, didn't know the Lord, we're living in sin, we were darkness. But now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Amen. Apostle Paul. Ephesians 6:18, he's telling these Ephesians in Ephesus, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Watch for your brothers and sisters. Make sure that you're keeping the commandments. And if you see your brothers and sisters that are not keeping the commandments, don't suffer sin on them. Reprove them. Correct them. Because it's love. It's loving their soul. And warn them from God. I praise the Lord. He's a holy God. And he demands a holy people. This is very important. Colossians 4:2. Paul's writing to the Colossians in Colossae. "Continue in prayer. Watch in the same with thanksgiving." Amen. In Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:5, "Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry." Hebrews 14:17. "And I say, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Amen. Yes, amen. 1 Peter 4:7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober." Don't be drunken. That means drugs or booze or anything that makes your soul drunk where you cannot discern righteous judgment. It says, "Watch unto prayer." Revelation 16:15, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments." In other words, you keep your soul preserved in the Lord by praying, reading, fasting, doing the works of God. Go out there, visit the sick, clothe the naked, feed the ones that are hungry. Go out there and do something for God. In Acts 20:31, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you." Apostle Paul says he's warning them day and night with tears. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4:14. It says, I write not these things to shame you, and I don't write these things to trouble you. It says, "But my beloved sons and daughters, I write these things to warn you." Yes. 2 Corinthians 5:11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." That's 2 Corinthians 5:11, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." You know, if you read your Colossians chapter 1, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works," that's the way we all were when we didn't know the Lord, "yet now had he reconciled." We're reconciled to God, amen. We're brought to the Father and the Son through the blood of the Messiah. "In the body of his flesh through death." That's how we were reconciled. We were made whole. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And that's if. That's only if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. "And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Messiah in my flesh for his body's sake, which is, and the English here says the church. And it doesn't mean a building, it means the set apart ones, the separate ones, the ones that stepped out and made a stand for God. It's not talking about a church building, okay? Make sure everybody understands this when it says church. You know, a lot of people don't know these different things in the scriptures, so it's very important. You know, when you read these words, you know, even though it says church, it's ekklesia in the Greek, and that means the calling out ones. And it is a particular meeting of a group of people, whether it be a synagogue or a room, wherever. But it's not talking about a building. The ekklesia is the set apart ones, the separate ones, okay? Anyway, we're on verse 25, Colossians 1:25, where I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Amen. Which is Messiah in you, you Colossians, which is the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man, amen, in all wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Messiah Yeshua, Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, amen, and I labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily, amen. Praise the Lord. So we see this is very important, that we watch and warn. Are you watching, or did you get caught up in the day? You know, make sure you know the times and the seasons. Make sure, because the day will come upon you as a thief. And be careful for these doctrines. There's no such thing. You're going to be raptured out of the shopping line or the golf course or, you know, something silly. Think about it. Most people in the world here in America, are you really going through the tribulations? I don't think so. Is anyone chasing you? I doubt it. So let's be realistic. Now, why would there be a thousand-year reign when the Apostle Paul says, when the Apostle Paul and Peter say when the Lord comes, he's going to burn this place to a crisp? It's going to be dissolved. You know, if you look in the scriptures, read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, chapter 4, 15 says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, so the one people that are there, that are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, they're not going to go before, or they're not going to go before the ones that are asleep, in other words, the ones that are dead. They're not going to prevent them which are asleep. That word prevent means go before. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, the dead in Messiah, shall rise first. So this is when the Lord comes. This isn't just, you know, you're just going to get plucked up somewhere, you know, if you're fishing or something. This is in the end when the Lord comes. It says the dead in Christ are going to rise first. It says, then we which are alive, the people that are alive at that time and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Amen. To meet the Lord in the air. It says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's not just 1,000 years. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay? Please get this. You know, these words, people don't look up. Please read all these verses. Read about in Daniel chapter 9, about the 927, about this anti-Messiah. He's going to confirm the covenant for 1 week, which is 7 years. And in the midst of the week, 3.5 years, he's going to cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Amen. even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. There's many verses like this in the Bible. You need to believe Yeshua in the book of Matthew when he says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, he even quotes Daniel the prophet. Look that up. So, this day of the Lord is not coming until you see this. And when the Lord does come, I don't know about you folks, but I want to meet the Lord in the air if I'm still alive. And if I'm dead, I'm going to be risen first. So shall I ever be with the Lord. I don't want to reign on this earth. For what reason? You know, if you look in the Talmud, before I even get to the Talmud, you know, nowhere in the Gospels did Yeshua ever mention or hint to a thousand-year messianic reign on this earth. The apostles, in the letters, that's the epistles, they never spoke of a thousand-year reign. Look it up. There's no thousand-year reign in any epistles or any gospels. How come Jesus, Yeshua, never talked about it if it's so important? Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Read 2 Peter chapter 3. Read Matthew 24, 25, just to mention some chapters. I mean, you know, this reign of a thousand years, they get this all from Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Here we have John, who was banished to the Isle of Patmos. He's having a vision. He says he saw thrones. This is verse 4. Where are the thrones, John? I saw thrones. He didn't say they were on the earth. It says, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And John says, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Does that sound like they might be martyrs? Yes. For the witness of Jesus, Yeshua, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, there's the anti-Messiah, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, they lived and reigned with Christ a thousand years. Where? It doesn't say on this earth. Besides that, these people are martyrs. They're dead. You know, if you read the scriptures correctly, Revelation 20 sounds a lot like Revelation 6. Chapter 6, verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. Amen. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season. That's very interesting right there. They're going to rest for a little season. Until their fellow servants and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Very important verses. You know, Yeshua says very simply in John 8, 23, I'm from above. I'm not from beneath. It says, ye are of this world. I'm not of this world. In John 18:36, he says, Jesus says, Yeshua, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. My kingdom's not of this world. You know, if you read about God's kingdom, it's forever. Go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. Amen. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. This son and this child, his name is Wonderful, Counselor. The son and the child is the Mighty God. Amen. The Everlasting Father, praise the Lord. The Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. It's not for just a thousand years, everybody. There shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, amen, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, and from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Amen. Luke 1:33, and he shall reign, the Messiah, over the house of Jacob forever. And his, the Messiah's, kingdom shall be no end. There shall be no end. That's Luke 1:33. Read that. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. You know, this doctrine of Chilianism comes from the Greek, this word. It's the word thousand in the Greek. It's, I don't know how to say it, chilio, chilioi, and it means a thousand. But it never says that we're going to do anything on this earth. This earth's going to burn to a crisp. We look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwell righteousness. You know, this doctrine, I want to ask everybody, as we see and study, you know, I've posted different opinions from the Talmud. There's many Sederin. You know, Seder is order, and which are also major divisions. And there's tractates, which are just books in the Talmud. With these people, these men, with their opinions, you can go to the Sanhedrin 97a. We have a Rabbi Katina. He says, 6,000 years shall the world exist. And 1,000, it says, 1,000, the seventh, it shall be desolate. As it is written, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. So this is his interpretation. What I'm trying to bring across to everybody is a possibility this millennial reign came from the Talmud or Judaism, which is not in the Bible. You can go to this other person, his name is Abaye, said, it'll be desolate for 2,000, as it is said, after 2 days, he will revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. They're quoting just verses out of context, but this Rabbi Katina said, just as the seventh year is 1 year of release in seven, so the world, so is the world, 1,000 years of the seven shall be foul. As it is written, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, and it is further said, a psalm, song of the Sabbath day, meaning that the day that is altogether Sabbath, and is it also said, for 1,000 years is in thy sight as are but yesterday when it's past. So these men are quoting scriptures out of context, like a lot of the Protestants do. And then we have this Tanna. Debi Eliyahu teaches the world is to exist for 6,000 years. This is in the Talmud, everybody. The world's going to exist for 6,000 years. The first 2,000 were desolation. 2,000 years of the Torah flourished. And the next 2,000 years is the Messianic era. So this concept comes from the Talmud and the rabbis that are just guessing. This is all, if you want to look this up, go to the Talmud, Sanhedrin 97a. You can read it yourself. I'm going to post this on my website so you could look for it. We see that Abraham's... we see there's a little thing about Abraham in his 52nd year until the 172 years after the destruction of the temple. This does not mean that the Torah ceased, therefore, but is mentioned merely to distinguish it from the next era. He's trying to help Eliyahu with his 6,000-year theory. You know, if you go to... You can go to the Talmud, the Rosh Hashanah 31a. It says it has been taught by Rabbi Judah. It says, in the name of Rabbi Akiva, on the first day of the week with psalms, they did the Levites. What did the Levites say? The one commencing the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, because he took possession and gave possession and was sole ruler in the universe. And then he gives an account of the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, the seventh day. And says, when God shall be alone, this is a ridiculous interpretation, between the end of the world and the resurrection of the dead, that's Rashi, that's ridiculous. I'm just trying to bring up some of these Talmudic passages because they're just as out there as you could get anyone's theories and opinions. Everyone's speculating. You know, this 6,000-year reign comes from the Talmud. They're quoting Hosea chapter 6, of course, verses 1 to 3. And they're also quoting Psalm 90. As you can see, there's so many different opinions in the world. You know, here we are in 2006. we're left with all these books that are called histories and all these writings. Myself personally, I'm going to take my advice and discernment and understanding from the Word of God. There's too many books out there to deceive me. Too many pseudo-teachers and pseudo-doctrines floating around. I think you know what I mean. So I praise the Lord for this study today. You know, it does seem like this doctrine of the millennial reign came from the Talmud, if people would read it. So, another theory, it's been said, and I didn't say this, that the millennial doctrine was started by this ungodly heretic, as they say. His name is Cerinthus, that's Cerinthus, you could look it up on the net, who lived in the first century. Some people say he made up the millennial doctrine, and he's saying that at that time there's going to be, they added that there's going to be sexual pleasures and all kind of strange doctrines they've added to it. You know, Judaism, as I just read above, that they teach that the Messiah will establish a literal kingdom, and Messiah's reign will last 1,000 years. This is from Judaism. So the question is, did the idea of the millennial reign proceed from Judaism? Did such thoughts from Judaism's imagination pass over into the Christian and messianic movements? Sounds like it to me. And I say we are left at this point. 2006. This is 2006 right now when I'm recording this. We're left with such a vast abyss of the so-called writings and histories to view and study. And I say again, I prefer to use the Word and the Spirit of the Lord for my understanding and discernment. So praise the name of the Lord for this study. We'll have to wait and see for a lot of these subjects. They're not spelled out clearly in the Scriptures. They look like they're inventions and theories of men. Be sober. Be watching. Know the times. Know the seasons. Be the children of light. Be the children of the day. Always be abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I praise the Lord today for my salvation. We are One a Messiah congregation. Look us up on the internet, oneamessiah.net. Call me anytime. My number's right on the net. Email me anytime you want. Praise the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem Yeshua. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for our brothers and sisters to get on track. We pray that the Lord corrects us with anything we got wrong. May the Lord bless every one of you. Baruch Hashem, Yeshua, the Messiah. Praise the name of the Lord.